from the palatial Pride 48 studios. You know what? I don't even have my cliff notes because I can't find them, but we are streaming at you through Tay Interwebs, as Daniel likes to say. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, or whatever time you like to listen to this train wreck of a show.
Is this the part where I butt in like Daniel does?
Daniel, maybe so. I think I'm the one that butts in. Anyway, Dubious Intent is brought to you by, I don't know. It's not brought to you by anything. Actually, I think it's brought to you by those cranky letters that Wes likes to...
The ones that I write?
Right. So anyway, I am joined here this evening by not Daniel Brewer once again. I am joined by am I supposed to call you Dr. Wesley Stone?
Yes, you may. Where can I put my bag down? My doctor's bag.
anywhere you'd like. I know I'm kind of closed off in this booth over here, but that's where Daniel likes to keep me. I should have freed myself, you know, since he's not here. While the cat's away, the mice will play, so to speak. Anyway, well, I'm glad you could join me. Actually, you and I talked about doing this, not necessarily to do it when Daniel was gone, but like we should all have switcheroos, you know, and like everybody do.
Yes.
But the problem was that Daniel is on all three of the shows, so it just basically ends up being us filling in for Daniel or something.
Well, on my show, I like to refer to you as sort of the anti-matter me. So now this is where matter and anti-matter meet.
So am I opposite of you, or am I just, you know, a parallel universe, so to speak, you know?
I think it's more like Well, antimatter, it's like, it's not evil, it's not parallel. I don't think it's parallel. Don't you remember the episode of Star Trek when, was it Kirk and, I don't know, Evil Kirk? Or no, not Evil Kirk. There was some character that was like an antimatter character. And when they came together, like the whole universe threatened to rip apart.
Well, I know they talked about antimatter a lot, but I don't, you know, I'm not being a physicist or a doctor myself. I'm not certain. Now, here's where Daniel would have some definition of antimatter. Because he's a good Googler. I can't talk and Google at the same time. So I haven't learned that skill yet. So
I can't either. But I just will show you this. You haven't seen this yet. If it makes you feel more comfortable, I am knitting to make you feel more like it's Jean here. Because I know you had such a good show with her. So
okay, folks. I know that you can't. This is an audio podcast. But Wes is actually... I didn't know that you knit either. Do you have two illegitimate children like Jean does?
Oh, I'm much older than I look. That's so cruel, isn't it? No, I don't have any children, but I am learning how to knit. And I'll tell you a little side story here is that before we got on this evening, I was going to put this knitting down at 7 o'clock my time, and I was going to do my workout, and then I was going to join you at 8 o'clock. Well, I dropped a stitch just before I was about to to put it down. And so I had to get on the internet and find an emergency video that showed how to pick up a purl stitch. So.
An emergency video. So, I mean, how does that go? And who does those videos? Is it some like 80-year-old woman?
Yes. Her name is Judy.
And it can't be much of an emergency because at their age, I mean, how fast can they really go? It's not like, quick, I dropped a stitch. What do I do? You know, and like, you know, 2 days later, you've got your explanation.
Well, no. Somebody has already put up on YouTube a video on how to pick up a purl stitch if you drop it. So it was an emergency for me and I had to go track it down.
So I take it you didn't get your workout in then.
I did not. So I'm going to have to do it afterwards.
Yeah, it's earlier for you. I'm debating about whether because Daniel and I record rather late and for us. And so we start about 10 or 10:30, which is actually 11 or 11:30 Daniel's time. But you are like somewhere else in California. And so it's like 8:30 there for you. So
right. Well, it was the same time as Jean was on. She's in Portland. So. It was the same time zone that she's in. So
right,
yeah, it's 8:22 right now.
No, but I'm just saying, so after we're done, you'll have plenty of time to work out or whatever. And I was debating on whether I would work out, but I would be working out at like midnight. And I have to, you know. So, but it's very important that you work out. You and I share something that I didn't put it in the notes, but after I got to thinking about it, I thought Wes totally is like on the same page as me because both of us are constantly worrying about our weight and everyone makes fun of us.
Well, but the difference is that I have something to worry about and you don't.
See, no. See, I have once again gained like 9 pounds.
I put on back like 10 pounds since a year ago this time.
Well, no, this is since Pride 48. I've put on 10 pounds. I gained weight.
You're a sleep pooper, so that'll be gone by tomorrow night.
No.
That was the other thing I wanted to talk about, was the sleep pooping.
So that's offensive. Where did that come from? Which one of you said it? I think Daniel said I was asleep.
I think he did. Well, because somehow you lost like 10 pounds overnight.
I don't know. It was 7.
Okay, that's still a significant amount overnight. And so how would you do it? You were sleep pooping.
I don't know what I did. I didn't, at least. Well, if I was asleep, I guess I didn't realize that I was. But I don't know. I mean, sometimes my body does weird things. Like I'll lose like large amounts of weight quickly, and then sometimes I gain really quickly. And I don't know. But so you and I share this constant Yes. kind of urge to monitor our weight and to make sure that it stays within certain parameters. And both of us are told by people that we don't need to worry about. But what I wanted to talk about is, and see if you agree with me on this. Don't you feel like if you don't stay on top of it, that it will get out of control, and then you Yes. will have something to worry about? So when people tell you stop worrying about it, do you ever think, yeah, but if I stop worrying about it, then I will be a big fat heifer?
Right, exactly. Because I grew up as one. And so I know that the moment I stop worrying about it, it will come back. And obviously I did stop worrying about it probably from maybe April to now. I just kind of stopped caring. I didn't want to work out. I just kind of got tired of the P90X workout. I got rid of my gym membership, so I didn't have a gym to go to, except for the one at the Cracker Factory. And the proof is I've put back maybe 10 to 11 pounds, you know, depends on what the day is. But yeah, so it's back.
So you don't have heat or air conditioning,
correct.
But you had a gym
That's
membership.
Correct.
So
I did before I moved into my new condo.
So we know where your priorities lay. So at least I know that when something is priority for you, you will spend money.
Well, wait a minute. I got rid of the gym membership when I got moved into the condo to save money. And at the same time, I haven't gotten the heater fixed because I'm like, well, I can just put a sweater on.
Well, how cold does it really get there? I mean, tell me where you live.
I live in San Diego.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. And it's unusually cold. And by cold for us, it's gotten into the high 20s at night this past week.
Oh,
so it's like maybe it's about maybe 30 degrees outside.
That's about the same as it is here. It's probably about 25 or 26 right now here.
Okay.
So it snowed the other night, actually.
Oh.
It was just a light dusting. I mean, not a whole lot. But in January or February last year, we got 20 inches of snow. 1 week.
Hey.
but I like it. When I lived in Dallas, sometimes we wouldn't get any snow at all. And if we were lucky, because I like snow, and if I was lucky, I would get one good snow a year. And usually it wasn't even a good snow. Here, I'm quite a bit further north, and so we tend to get 2 or 3 good snows a year.
Okay. And so what do you do in the snow?
Well, just look at it. I actually don't like to
write your name in it.
No. I don't like to go out in it. I just like to look out the window. I like to have a... See, I don't... I'm an outdoors person as far as I like to look at the outdoors from safely within the indoors. So, you know, okay. So
you're like me, who likes the rain when I'm at home and I can enjoy it from inside.
Exactly. I want to be in a carefully controlled temperature environment with no excess moisture. You know, I want it all controlled, but whatever's going on outside is fine. As long as that's why I can't stand not, I mean, I can't imagine how you can live without air conditioning, because I would die.
You just kind of get used to it, I guess. I never had it my entire life. So what else can I do? Now, going without heat is a bit, well, it's not too bad, because at my old apartment, I never turned on the wall heater because I was afraid it was going to set the building on fire. So I just used a room heater, which I have now. So I've been using my room heater.
Isn't a room heater more dangerous?
Probably.
There was a story, and I wish I meant to look it up to put it in the news segment, but there was a story. There is a county in Tennessee where if you don't, and there may be other places that are like this, but there's a specific county in Tennessee where if you live outside the city limits, There's only one fire department in the city limits. And if you live outside the city limits, if you want fire service or, you know, from the fire department, you have to pay a yearly $75 fee.
Oh, okay. They were going to try and institute that here in San Diego because people in the rural areas out here, well, everyone pays for fire service because it's in your normal taxes, but they were going to charge them an extra tax because they were so far outside of the city.
Well, yeah, these are people, though, that wouldn't have city taxes or whatever because they don't live, they live outside.
Oh, okay.
So they, anyway, so about a year ago, someone's house caught fire that had not paid it. And they did not put out the fire. Well,
they just all drove up there and looked at it and go, ha ha, as it burned down.
No, so last a few days ago, it might have been last week, I'm not sure, a trailer caught fire outside this same city. And they, once again, these people had not paid their $75. And the fire department went out to watch it burn down to make sure that the houses that had paid basically did not catch fire. I mean, they didn't say this specifically, but basically they do go out if there's a fire, but they will not fight that fire. Their only purpose for going out there is to make sure that it doesn't spread to other houses or things of that nature. And so
how much more could it have cost? Because they're already on duty. They're already drawing their salary. Well, I mean, how much more would it have cost to just throw some water on it?
Well, I heard a discussion because I heard it on a radio show that I listened to. And the point was brought up that fire departments have to have insurance for, like, you know, if the fireman gets hurt or dies or anything of that nature, and that if it's in their rules that they can't fight fire outside it without, you know, that's how they kind of have the rule set up, that the insurance companies could come back and deny claims so that, say, someone was injured, you know, they might deny their claim for medical, they might not pay their death benefits, all of that stuff, because they, you know, have those rules. So their insurance probably is written in such a way that, hey, you know, you can't fight these fires, basically. It's like a liability insurance or whatever. There was one other thing I wanted to talk about with you, and that is cars. You and I completely agree on this. I drive a 1996 BMW Z3. But it's had vandalism, so the top has been slashed, and I haven't been able to afford to do that. The air conditioning is out. It was keyed on one side. It leaks oil. There are several things wrong with it, but I don't have a car payment. I have never had a car payment on that car.
Right.
And so everyone always says, instead of getting it fixed one little thing at a time, why don't you just go and buy another car?
Get another car. It's so easy. Just get another car.
And
stop being a skinflint, Adam, and get a new car.
Right. And you had this exact conversation on Live It Up with Daniel, I believe, and you said the same thing I do. So where do I get that money to get this new car?
Just get a new car.
Is it that easy? Because, I mean, people just, luckily I had the cash at the time because of a settlement that I received when I bought it. But, you know, I've never had the amount of cash just to walk up to a dealership. And then I've had some credit issues recently, so I can't just go up and say, hey, give me a loan, you know?
Yeah, I don't. You know what? I'll be honest. I never really had a car payment either. I mean, my parents helped me out with this one because I'll tell you a quick story. When I came down to San Diego, I was driving my car, which I had paid for, although my parents, you know, were the ones that actually bought it. I gave them the money and they bought it for me. And so we were coming down California over this area called the Grapevine, which is a very steep incline of the mountains. And my father was driving it and he was pushing the car too hard because it was, you know, had no horsepower. He had his foot to the floor, and eventually the motor blew. So all my crap for college, it was in the car, and we had to pull over and we had to find a rental car and then, you know, abandon my car in Valencia, California, and continue on the way. So I was without a car for a while. Eventually my parents came down and they drove and they had brought me another car. So I never had to go through the process. So I don't know.
So wait, is that the one that you currently drive?
Yes. And I've had it for 14 years.
Okay. I was going to say that's going to sound wrong. I was going to say that would have had to have been quite a while ago, but.
Yes. Well, it was quite a while ago and I've taken very good care of the car. I've always repaired stuff when I needed to. And yeah, so it's lasted 14 years.
Well, I'm not as good at taking care of cars. My grandma gave me her 94 Honda Accord last fall, as a little bit more reliable car than my BMW so that I could travel back and forth between Dallas and here and without them worrying about me, basically. And she had just had it serviced, at least so I thought. So about three or four months later, I don't know the exact amount of time, I started having problems getting it to start. It was like it wouldn't catch or whatever, but it was different than a starter issue. It was like, I couldn't tell
maybe
what it was.
Ignition?
You
turn the key and nothing happened, right?
No, something happened, but it was like it wasn't catching. But it wasn't, I can't explain it, but it wasn't okay. Like the yang, like you get when the starter's messed up. It was something else. And I found if I pumped the gas for whatever reason, that sometimes it would catch and it would start.
Okay.
Well, one night this happened and I had been at a Trix house and it was late and I'm like, oh my God, I got to get home from the Trix house because I can't call my parents from a Trix house and say, come pick me up. I've broken down. So right. I got it to start and this was about 20 minutes away. So I got like 5 minutes from my apartment and all of a sudden it started trying to die and I kept having to rev the engine and then smoke started pouring out of the hood.
Oh.
And I made it to my apartment and was able to pull it into the garage. But when we took it in, when we had it towed, basically they said, I need a new engine. it was out of oil completely.
Oh.
And I was told by Maddie, who's my ex, that when you run out of engine, there are these things called compression rings on the pistons that are apparently some kind of plastic ring that holds the compression inside the engine. And
okay.
when it runs out of oil and those start just going up and down against the metal cylinder, you know, the whatever.
He's making the jack-off motion with his hand right now for the people who can't see him.
I didn't think you were looking, you were knitting. But anyway, so that they get hot and they can melt. And so probably what was happening when it would not start is that the compression, it wasn't getting compression inside the engine, and because one of those had probably melted. So I have a second car sitting in the garage that I can't do anything with until I have the money, until I get my bonus, hopefully, in March.
We have to buy a whole engine for it, right?
Yeah, it's going to be like $1,500. It's a short block, so I guess not the whole thing. I don't know much about it, but
yeah.
But anyway, well, this week has been really busy for me. I don't know about you. I play in church orchestra.
Okay.
And I play trumpet. And for those of you who don't know, I think I've mentioned it before on the show. But anyway, so we had literally, we normally rehearse like on Wednesday nights and then play on Sunday, but our Christmas program is this weekend. So we had a rehearsal last night, from 6:30 to 10. We had one tonight from 6 to 9. We have one tomorrow night from 6 to 9. I perform the first performance at 6 p.m. on Saturday. I have church Sunday morning, and then we have a 3 o'clock and a 6 o'clock performance.
Wow, you're really getting close with God.
I'm really close with God. But so that's what I've been doing. I mean, there's not much interesting to say about it. It's just, you know, going through all the stuff. I really enjoy playing trumpet in church, and I'm glad that I started back because if I don't have somewhere to play, like, I will not practice. And that was my major in college. And but I enjoy performing, not practicing. I think a lot of people are that way.
Do you feel comfortable practicing at home? Do you have neighbors that are so close that you might feel, you know, a bit hesitant to practice?
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, I live in an apartment. And I have lived in a house before. I mean, on my own, I own a house. But anytime I live in an apartment, even though they say, you know, you can be noisy from this hour to this hour, you know, usually you have quiet hours, I still feel, because trumpet is such a loud instrument, I still feel really self-conscious. So, and they make practice mutes that you can put in and, you know, and they muffle the sound so people can't hear it.
Uh-huh.
But it causes this, they call it back pressure. Against your mouth, you can't, the air is not free flowing, so it feels different. And if you practice,
so you
a
get
whole
Dizzy Gillespie cheeks,
something
right?
Like, well, not
which is what might be one of the questions or answers on the birthday list, as I understand that's one of Daniel's go-to is Dizzy Gillespie, isn't it?
Well, because I don't know, there was something with the trumpet in it, and he said, Dizzy Gillespie, no, it was Wynton Marsalis, and then I played something else that was. Chuck Mangione.
Chuck Mangione.
He's Chuck Mangione before. And I said, this is someone that you've mentioned before. And then he goes, Dizzy Gillespie. I'm like, no, it's not.
Anyway, so you were talking about backwashing with your trumpet.
So no, I don't practice. And, you know, I got this brilliant idea. We have this theater room. In the, like the, what do you call it? The apartment office, but there's the clubhouse. Is that what they call it?
Oh, okay. Like a common room.
Yeah. We have a theater room, and I got this idea that maybe at late at night I could go when no one has got it rented out and just practice in there, which I'm sure I could, but that hasn't happened yet. So, but playing twice a week really has helped though. I mean, I'm not getting a lot of extra practice, but you know, that'll help. So I won't feel like I have any sort of a weekend, because I'll be getting closer to God all weekend and then back to work on Monday.
Yeah. My work has been kind of busy this week. I had actually, I had six meetings scheduled for today, and I was double booked for a couple of them. I'm like, I can't come to your meeting because I already have another meeting to go to.
I never know which meeting I need to pick. I hate it when that happens. It's like, you know, somebody will schedule another meeting and you're like, well, maybe their meeting is more important. And then you're thinking, okay, who has seniority? Who is the higher up person that I need to go to their meeting, you know, so I impress the right person or whatever.
Yeah. Well, there was something that you mentioned last week about what you do at work, or not necessarily your work, but in general etiquette. And you talked about how somebody was clipping their nails at your work.
Yeah. In the cubicle next to mine. Yeah.
So, and you said that you were grossed out by it and you would never do it. Well, I too am grossed out by it, but I do it at work for a very specific reason. Because there are other people that make noises. So it's retaliation.
You would. Yeah. That's something that completely sounds like something you would do. I have to admit, I think it's gross, but I always forget. That's one of the things I forget to do. I'll always think, man, I need to clip my nails. Man, I need to clip my nails. And I was at work, and this is, people are probably going to be, this is even grosser. But a friend of mine who sits next to me, he's one of the culprits who does this, although it was not him that day. But he has a pair of fingernail clippers in his desk. And he told me once, anytime you need them, you can borrow them. And I was sitting at my desk and I was thinking, man, my nails are really too long. And I'm like, fuck it. Everybody else does it. So I borrowed, right. I borrowed his clippers and I clipped my nails. But I still think it's gross. And that was like a one-time thing. And I felt ashamed afterwards. I'm never going to do it again.
You just have to be more spiteful like me, because I have an old lady who scrapes her, like she eats her breakfast at work every morning and she scrapes the bottom of her dish continuously to get every last drop out of what she's eating. And then she sits there and belches out loud, really Ew. Loud, like almost like Big Fatty, you know. And there's another old guy that's, you know, down the row from me, and he coughs, but he goes just like that. I'm like, God, shut up.
Well, there's something else that I hate that people do that I didn't mention. I hate it when people have meetings, because, you know, people will have conference call meetings.
Yes.
I hate it when they do that on speakerphone at their desk.
Oh, yes.
I hate that. I don't want to hear the entire meeting from both sides while I'm trying to sit and get work done.
Well, they can't hold the phone because they're too busy clipping their fingernails on the phone.
So. I don't know. I don't know at all. Well, I know people are going to get tired of this, and I'm going to try to stop bringing this up. But I have to mention this again. I have to talk about my dating because I don't know what to do, and maybe you'll have a fresh opinion on the whole matter. But first of all, I don't know if I want to date because I've talked about this in several different places, so everybody has heard it like a million times. But I am a people pleaser, and I always end up picking people who I have to please in some way. And then I end up being resentful, and it doesn't work out. And I'm really enjoying being single, but I also get horny, and I would like to have someone to have sex with, but I would, even though I am a whore, I would like to try to stop being a whore quite as much. So I would like to have one person, but I'm
just
also,
one regular trick or
right,
one,
like a yeah, fuck buddy, okay. Basically. But yeah. I'm having trouble finding that as well, because either people, I want it frequently, like at least once a week or something like that. But even people who like me and want to continue to do stuff, it's so sporadic. Like, they might call me or text message me one day, and then it might be a month later. Well, I'm horny 3 weeks in between that and the next time they call. Or it's someone who either doesn't like me when they come over, or they are the kind of person who needs a new person each time, you know, or whatever. And so it's like, if I date someone, then I could be getting that. But then they're going to expect a relationship at some point. So I don't know. And this Mexican, I've been...
This Mexican.
Daniel told me I need to stop referring to him as the Mexican.
Okay.
But he is coming out of a marriage.
Uh-huh.
And we did go on a date finally, and it was good, but he's kind of straight acting because he says he's bi, which kind of bothers me a little bit. And he doesn't seem too concerned with looks, which kind of bothers me as well, because I want someone to really think that I'm hot. And
Wait. Is there anything wrong with him, like, not being, well, how do I phrase this? If he's not worried about looks, you've kind of won. You can just let yourself go, right?
No, because I have to, that's the thing. People have to find me hot. And he said I was hot once, but I did this whole thing where I brought it up again because I'll do that. And he's like, I've already told you I thought you were hot. Why do I have to say it again? And I'm like,
he
oh.
does sound like he might be bisexual.
And I'm like, oh my God, don't you know? Of course you have to say it again. You have to say it over and over and over again. But, so he says to me that he gets freaked out because he's afraid that anybody he has sex with is going to be having sex with other people, and that freaks him out. And right. he wants to be monogamous with someone. And I said, well, I don't know if I'm ready for a relationship, but I definitely would be interested in going on some dates and seeing, you know, how things work out. Well, he's always busy. He canceled a date. We finally went out on another date. But then on Grindr, he puts on there that he's looking for a relationship, even though we've gone on a date, and he says he likes me. So I'm like, I know we're not going steady or anything, but like, why are you still looking if you say you like me and you want to try dating one person?
Right. Have you asked him this?
Well, but I'm afraid to, because I think he might come back and say, well, yeah, you remember at the very beginning when you said you don't want a relationship? And I do, so and so he'll be like, I like dating you, but I want someone that wants a relationship, so I'm still going to be looking for that person. I don't know. I'm afraid that's what he'll say. And then I met this other guy today, but he's a truck driver, and he doesn't live here, and he's never here. And then I called him on the phone, and he sounds incredibly ignorant. He's cute, and he's so sweet. Like, he was so sweet, like, really nice, like, messaging back and forth. But then when we talked,
it was over.
Well, I mean, we might talk again, but he just didn't sound very intellectually stimulating.
But see, you're not looking to him for intellectual stimulation, right?
Well, see, he's another one of those that says, I only have sex with someone I'm in a steady thing with.
Ugh.
And I'm like, oh my God, you're a truck driver. You might be here once every 2 or 3 weeks. And that means I got to get very familiar with my hand. You know,
well, you've got to keep the other Mexican and the truck driver and sort of just let them think that you're not interested in a relationship, but you're willing to have a monogamous, you know,
are you telling sex me to relationship
lie? Would they ask? I mean, an omission is not a lie. So if they asked, I don't know.
You know, I totally agree with you. I've always followed that philosophy. If someone doesn't ask me something, then I'm not lying.
Right.
They haven't asked me.
I think in your case, though, I think you sort of need to lose your conscience because you were upfront with these people and said, I don't want a relationship. I just want a fuck buddy. And if they're the ones that can't really handle it, then it's not your problem.
No, I know. But there are only so many eligible guys out there. And I feel like I've gone through a good majority of the people here in the past year that I've lived here. And I'm like, I'm running out of guys, you know? And I didn't, and you know, it's, and it's more of a, I think, I don't know. I mean, I wish I could be in a relationship again, and maybe I will be able to, but I'm really just not in that place. And the reason I told I'll just say his name, the Mexican, the reason I told him that I wanted to date is because I thought, well, you know what? If it went really well and we just hit it off and everything was great, then maybe I would want a relationship. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I do like living. Yeah. I love living alone and being able to do whatever I want. And
right, you're not closing yourself off to any possibilities.
Right, but anyway, it's a mess. It's a mess. But I don't want to be. But I don't want to be a big whore for the rest of my life.
I don't think you will be.
I go through men like tissues. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Because I get horny. I mean,
but you never go back to them for just sex.
I would, but that's what I'm saying. It's like,
I guess it's hard for me to grasp because I don't find people that are interested in having relationships out. And maybe that's your solution. Move to California, be where nobody wants a relationship. They just want sex.
Well, I'm just saying, like, right now I don't want a relationship, but I would like it to be like one person that I was really into that we could just hang out, be friends, and, you know, get off.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think that would be perfect. But either I don't like them, they don't like me, or they want more variety than that. Or they want it once every 1 or 2 months, which is not enough for me. So
I'd say you tell them to quit your whining and open your mouth, and then you stick your dick in their mouth.
Well, actually, I'm the one with my mouth open.
But oh, okay.
There's
well,
more
69 then to shut them up. I think you just got to be selfish, and you just got to grab what you can get. To be honest, I wouldn't have said that if it was 15 years ago, but I've changed my tune.
I would have seen you as much more pious than that. So I'm learning a little bit more about you.
Well, yes, I was all about, when I was younger in my 20s, I was all about finding a relationship. I would have done so much better in college because I didn't really want to focus on studying. I wanted to find somebody to date and fall in love, and I couldn't. And so it was very distracting. And I never really dated anybody. The last person that I dated that I could call a relationship was when I was 21. So now I'm 35. So I haven't dated in a serious relationship. I've gone out with people, you know, for about the span of maybe 3 months at the most, but I don't consider that a long-term relationship.
Well, then I don't feel too bad because I've had 3 2-year relationships and a 6-year relationship and no real short ones. So okay. I feel like I've been able to hold them pretty long, and I feel like I loved all four of those people. And they were all serious, and, you know, we all were boyfriends and basically lived together and all that. And I've been thinking, you know, why is it so hard and even if I wanted a relationship, like, to find someone who I like, who I find attractive, who I think has a really good personality, who treats me the way I need to be treated or I should be treated, and who also feels the same way about me, that seems impossible.
Right.
I mean, it just seems, and I know I've found it before, kind of.
Yeah.
I mean, kind of. I mean, because one could argue that I haven't been treated the way I should have been treated. But, I mean, other than the fact that my last was, you know, had some issues with how he treated me, I was completely comfortable with him and totally wouldn't, you know, I'm not going to go back to him, but I'm just saying, like, I just think, oh, it was so much easier. Now I have to find someone new.
Well, have you ever heard of the Fruitcake Lady? She used to appear on the Jay Leno show.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So have you seen her bit? If you goggle her on YouTube for videos, you can find her giving old advice. And one woman asks, I'm 40 years old and I'd like to find a man to husband. And the Fruitcake Lady says, at 40 years old, the best men are gone. Just get yourself a dog.
Well, I have a dog, so.
There you go.
Well, so I wanted to, we're not going to do a true tech segment because I know you're anti-tech anyway.
That's not true at all. As a matter of fact, I enjoy many pieces of technology, such as the teletyper.
the
Morse code. Right. And Morse code.
People don't actually know this, but you and I are speaking over, you know, an old Progresso soup can and some twine that you found while you were knitting. So,
you may not enjoy vintage technology like I do, but you do enjoy some of the older things like television. I know I've caught some references you've thrown out on your show before. I'm like, I didn't realize you really did, you know, watch some serious old time television.
Oh, no, I did. I don't as much anymore because I don't have a lot of time just to sit around and watch TV. But when I was growing up, Nickelodeon,
Nick at Night,
they would play all of that old shit.
I loved it. Donna Reed.
Absolutely. And actually, Donna Reed is on Hulu. You can get you have to do the web Hulu, not Hulu Plus, which is really strange. But Donna Reed is on there. My Three Sons, I think, maybe on there. I think they may have Lassie. But I used to watch all that, like, because it's so, like, what I like, because I like to read as well, but what I like is something that completely lets me escape from reality. And all of those old TV shows are so like happy and innocent, and like there, you don't see people, you know, dying of things and like, right. you know, stuff like that. It's all really simple problems that they solve by the end of the episode, and everyone's happy and cheery. And, you know, it's just, it gives you this good feeling. I mean, like my favorite, yeah. I know we were talking on Google Plus, my favorite show that I haven't seen in forever is the Ann Southern Show, or was the Ann Southern Show. And I think it only lasted for one season, but, and it was either a spinoff or it happened before I Love Lucy, because Lucy was on that show a couple of times. But you can't find it anywhere. I mean, I can't find that anywhere. I mean, I did find like a few clips, and I found like the theme song to play on something.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love that stuff.
Well, but so do I. So I was kind of impressed that you said some of the, you know, references to that.
Yes. Yeah, I do. Yeah. I do. And but the only thing is, you can't. Like Nickelodeon, Nick at Night, every few years they change their line. They still play old stuff, but mm-hmm. it's old stuff to the people who are watching that channel now.
Right. So they're like, the 18 to 35 year olds who grew up with that.
Right. So like when I was little, when I was teenage years and I was watching Nick at Night, it was, you know, Ann Southern, Donna Reed, the Patty Duke Show, My Three Sons, Lassie, all that kind of stuff. And then as I got older, it was like The Cosby Show, A Different
Roseanne
World,
and stuff, yeah.
Roseanne. I'm like, that's stuff that was like, when I was a teenager, that was stuff that was first run.
You're like, you know? I don't want to watch that. I want to watch the vintage stuff.
Yeah, I want to watch the vintage stuff. And then they have TV Land. I don't know what they play on there because I haven't watched that channel. But anyway, so every year it gets like newer and newer and newer. And then I'm like, well, I don't want to watch it now.
Right.
Because it's newer. I like the old stuff. But for technology, what I wanted to discuss, and I posted this on Google Plus, there is an ad, or not an ad, there is a skit that was done by collegehumor.com, and it's a fight over Siri. And
okay.
It's hilarious. Did you listen to it? I think you must have, because I was testing audio earlier, and you...
Did you post it on Google, or did I discover it somewhere else? Maybe, or I mean, on Google Plus. I don't know. I have seen it, so I am familiar with it.
Okay. Well, I want to play it, and I don't think you need video. The listeners need video to make it funny. So I'm going to play that right now, and then we can discuss.
Okay.
We have a flat tire.
How do I tie a bow tie again?
What's the fastest way to Hartford Hospital?
Tell my wife I'm going to be 30 minutes late.
Tell my husband I'm not surprised.
Tell my wife if she has a problem with my work schedule, she's more than welcome to get a job of her own.
Tell my husband that I do just as much work as he does.
Tell my wife that if watching Ellen is a job, she should get a promotion.
Message from your husband. I appreciate you.
What did he actually say?
Please don't drag me into this.
Siri, call my husband.
Siri, ignore the call from my... wife.
Tell my husband that he said he'd respect my choice to stay at home with our child.
Tell my wife I would, but she can't even get around to washing his overalls.
Did you want me to search for flower shops nearby?
Tell my husband that at least when I sit on the washing machine, I
send my wife this picture and ask her if the washing machine is
the only thing you've been sitting on lately. Oh dear.
Ask my husband what he means by that.
Tell my wife I think she knows.
Hey, look. I googled anger management techniques.
Tell my husband to think very carefully before he says whatever he's about to say.
Ask my wife if she's f***ing Jim McPherson.
Tell my husband how dare he.
Tell my wife that's not an answer.
Is this my fault?
Tell my husband that I will not answer that.
Ask my wife if she's f***ing Jim McPherson.
Searching for a place to hide.
Tell my husband he wishes it was just Jim McPherson.
I don't want to.
Tell him.
Please don't make me.
Do it.
Send my wife directions to hell.
Say goodbye to the most amazing iPhone yet.
Very clever.
That is one of the most hilarious things I have seen in a long time. Have you ever been involved in one of those situations, though, where someone's, and it's very childish, but where like someone's like, well, tell him that I said such and such. Or does that ever only happen on sitcoms?
I can't remember being in a direct situation like that.
Does Siri?
Have you?
No, but I just thought that was there. I don't even know. Siri, I guess you can send text messages through Siri, though.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
So you'd have to tell it to. But Siri's kind of weird. I don't have Siri because I don't have a smartphone, but I've tried it at work with coworkers, and it doesn't answer any of my questions. And I think they're perfectly legitimate questions. I think I asked it, how much are tickets to a Broadway show of Wicked? And it couldn't figure it out. I'm like, why is that so complicated? So
I think a cool thing about it is you can tell it what to call you. So, you know, you can say, call me, you know, Lord and Master or whatever. And, you know, that's how she'll respond to you from then on. She'll say, you know, Lord and Master, you have a text message or whatever. So, but I don't know. I just thought that was hilarious because I can see a couple getting in a fight like that, sending text messages over Siri.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can say, tell him such and such. But anyway, I just thought that was funny. We don't have to have a whole lot of commentary on it. I wanted to play it. I just thought it was, I hope that all of our listeners didn't go to my Google Plus post like 3 days ago and already listened to it. And then it's like, that's what I debated when I found it. I'm like, should I post that on Google Plus, or like every one of our listeners going to then go and listen to it? And then when I play it on the show, you know, they're not.
I'm sure there's somebody that hasn't heard it yet.
Yeah. Well, for those of you who haven't heard that, you're welcome. There you go. That is.
Oh, is that not the segment?
No, that is not the same thing at all. Not at all. Now there you are supposed to say something. No, not that.
What am I supposed to say?
The news.
The news.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. All right, let's see what we've got in the news here. A 7-year-old boy has been accused of sexual harassment after punching a fellow first grader in the groin, but the boy's mother says he was acting in self-defense.
What was the groin doing to him?
Well, Tasha Lynch told the Boston Globe that her son Mark something was being choked by the groin. No, it doesn't say that. That her son Mark was being choked during the November 22nd incident on a school bus and has been afraid to go back to school in South Boston ever since. A spokesman for the Boston Public Schools confirmed the incident had been classified as possible sexual harassment, but declined to comment on it. The student faces suspension or being transferred to another school if his actions are deemed to be sexual harassment, according to a letter from the school. So,
well, it's a bit early in life to call a 7-year-old sexually harassing somebody, isn't it?
Well, you know, I think it's just one of those catch-all things. Like, we need to be able to, you know, have something to classify. I don't know. Actually, though.
Well, clearly he's a terrorist, not a sexual harasser.
Right. They need to waterboard him. That's exactly what they need to do. You know, pat him down.
Oh,
for
I like
bombs,
the way you think.
Bring in the dog, you know, check him for anthrax. Oh, speaking of anthrax, I was going to mention this in the little conversational segment. We had someone, this is not funny at all, but we had someone, one of our contractors, come down, confirmed to have tuberculosis.
And you mean at work? A contractor at work?
And they're having to like bring in the CDC and like do an investigation and all this. And I'm like freaked out. Like, we had training last week that we were supposed to go to. And one of my leads came over to my desk and she's like, you really don't want to go over to that building today. And I'm like, why? And she's like, well, one of the contractors was confirmed with having tuberculosis, and you know, they are having to find out if anyone else contracted it or whatever. So I'm worried now. Like, I'm gonna have to go to work with like one of those masks on, like they wear in China.
Well, you know, Adam, speaking as a doctor that I am,
right?
I recommend that you stop bathing and that you always carry a handful of posies to breathe into. That was the remedy back in the old days for the plague. So,
gosh, I mean, I don't know. Anyway, it's crazy. So, this is where you go or whatever.
Okay.
Is this the world's biggest bug? Oh, you have to go over and click on that link. Do you have the document pulled up?
Oh, okay. Let me go into it.
You have to look at, there's under the segment 4 where it says funny news stories, there's a link for world's biggest bug. And you have to look at this bug because the story in itself is not that interesting, but the picture is.
Wait a minute.
This
no, it's got to be Chinese.
So,
They have hideous bugs in China.
This bug could suck a dick. I'm not kidding. But anyway.
Oh, it is. It's sucking a carrot, which is the size of a dick.
It depends on who the person is. So it says, is this the world's biggest bug? As with all superlatives, it depends on your definition. But the sight of a New Zealand giant weta chomping down on a carrot surely has to give you the creeps, even if it's rivaled by other giant creepy crawlies. This particular species of the cricket-like creature known as a giant weta or weta punga to the Maori and as Deinocrida heteracantha to scientists is found only in a protected area or in protected areas such as New Zealand's Little Barrier Island. That's where Mark Moffat, an entomologist and explorer at the Smithsonian Institution, found the specimen after two nights of searching.
Oh, God.
So anyway, there's some debate as to whether or not this is the biggest bug in the world. But just to give you an idea, let's see. It says it weighed in at 2.5 ounces and is 7 inches in length.
Yeah, I don't think the ounces quite sum up how big it is because it's probably like very light. But it's huge. It's large. It's bigger than this person's palm, the palm of their hand.
Yeah, it's gigantic. And it looks, I mean, it looks like it could just swallow that carrot whole just about.
It
looks like it's deep throat in the carrot, to be honest. Anyway, so there's that. So we'll put a link somewhere, maybe on the DI Plus Google Plus page or whatever, for those of you who haven't seen that.
If you saw it, would you step on it, squish it?
It would ruin my shoe. I think that thing would actually just push my foot out of the way. It'd be like, oh, no, bitch, you're not stepping on me.
It would step on you.
It's a song you might hear in many music rooms across the country. We all know the words, but one teacher decided to take the word gay out of the lyrics.
Students that had been snickering at the lyrics of Deck the Halls, that she had attempted to get them back on track quite a few times and just decided to make a change in the wording.
The music teacher gave students a sheet of music with a changed verse. Don We Now Are Bright Apparel. Cherry Knoll principal Chris Parker says when he found out, he immediately talked with the teacher.
I had not heard of the substitution of the word bright before in that song. It sort of caught me by surprise.
Parker wishes the teacher would have used the situation as a teachable moment. The word gay in the carol means happy or joyful.
We have an anti-bullying and discrimination policy that includes sexual orientation. And so going forward, the teacher will be addressing, this is how we're, you know, supposed to be reacting. This is a way to be respectful about this.
Parents I spoke with did not want to go on camera, but they tell me they think the music teacher's decision to change the lyrics is completely inappropriate. And now they're taking time to explain to their children that gay is not a bad word.
It was just a different way to handle that and a different decision that could have been made.
So gay is not a bad word, and we can don our gay apparel.
That's so gay.
I hate that. I hate it when people use the word gay in that way. I can't stand that. Like it, I know people and they know I'm gay and like they're totally like, or at least they say they're totally fine with me being gay. They have no issues with it. And then they'll go, that's so gay. And I'm like, you know, you're completely using that word in a derogatory fashion. And yet you're telling me that, you know, you have no issues with it and you think it's perfectly fine.
Right.
To be gay. And yet, anyway, so I don't know if you had any commentary on that, but I just thought that was interesting that a teacher had decided to say, you know, kids have always snickered over that word since they've known in that song, you know.
Well, I think, I guess the teacher obviously did it because the teacher said that they tried a couple of times to get the class back on track and they kept on chuckling about it. So
right. He
needed to move the lesson forward. So I can understand his, you know, his need to, but it's kind of interesting. He should have, I guess, taken it up with the parents immediately and said, look, your kids are being disruptive and they can't even get past this song. You know, it's your job to correct them.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's a, you know, just on the other side of the coin, like from basically what you're saying as well. I don't know that it's an anti-gay thing that they were snickering. They just, you know, it's just a word that they find funny because it's about sexuality. Right. And, you know, they find it funny. So, I mean, I don't know if she should have or not, but sometimes I think we make things kind of political or, you know, some kind of platform for something when it doesn't really right. need to be. He's like, oh, we have anti-discrimination and, you know, we want to make sure that we teach these kids that they can't snicker when they come to the word gay in that song. You know, that's discrimination.
I think the teacher just wanted to get home and go, you know, from work and be done with it.
Probably. I guess if they were in that other school, they would charge them all with sexual harassment, but I'm not sure. It was supposed to be a routine outpatient surgery to remove some growths from Kim Grice's head, but something went horribly wrong during the Tuesday morning procedure, and a flash fire seared Grice's face and neck. The 29-year-old mother of three was rushed by helicopter to the University of South Alabama burn unit with burns to her face and neck. Her mom, who had been waiting in the lobby of the medical center, knew something bad had happened. But anyway, she looks pretty bad.
Oh, there's a picture there.
Yeah, there is a picture there. I can say that she was much more attractive before it was burned, although maybe only just slightly more attractive.
Oh, the burns really made an improvement.
You know, the plastic surgery afterwards is going to be completely worth it because they'll just do a complete, you know, one of those makeovers and she'll look like a model.
Oh my God, that could be the solution for a way that I can get the other side of my face lifted up here. Right. I could just set it on fire.
You didn't say that on recording. So you were telling me earlier, you said, Adam, I know you'll be honest if I ask you this question. I think this side of my face is droopier than the other one.
Yes, and I still think it is. For some reason, the skin is very droopy on this side. I'm not talking to my microphone. So I'd like to get that side lifted so I can just set it on fire and I can get plastic surgery.
Well, there you go. All right. Well, it's time for maybe nobody's favorite segment. Oh, my favorite segment. This is where you have to guess people's birthdays.
Oh, man. I'm going to be very bad at this because I always have a mental block on people's names, but I could tell you like, oh, they were in that movie or, oh, they were on that TV show, but I may have a hard time with the names here.
All right. Well, I'll try to give you clues where I can. This first one, I did a medley. So if you don't get the first song, there are two other ones that you can listen to if you're not getting it, but because I couldn't pick just one. So let's do that.
Well, I believe. Well, that song was made famous, I think, by the Andrews Sisters.
Okay, so it's. This is an actress / singer that has done this song.
Is it Bette Midler?
It is Bette Midler.
Okay. So, I don't remember what movie she did that for, but.
I love this song, actually.
Have you seen her in a commercial? I think it's like a car commercial for the holidays.
No, I haven't.
Well, it's like she's out caroling with a bunch of people and they're like, to promote our product, we've got Bette Midler, you know, world-renowned singer Bette Midler. And she steps forward and at the door of somebody's house and starts singing. She sounds like shit. I'm like, oh my God, what happened to her voice?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, didn't she have some medical issues or something?
Oh, did she?
I don't know. I thought she had at one point, but... I may be thinking of somebody completely different. Yeah, so anyway, Bette Midler. And let me look at my spreadsheet. I'm totally looking at audio and not looking at the spreadsheet. She turned 66.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I have an entire birthday spreadsheet that tells me that I put in their date of birth, and it has a formula in it that calculates their age based on the date of birth. And then I format it to a different color when I've gone over it on a show so that I don't repeat anyone.
Okay.
Anyway, so yes, I do have a spreadsheet. So she turned 66. Happy birthday, Bette. Here is the next one.
Well, that's kind of an easy one. If it's as obvious as you're,
yes.
You know, reporting it, it's Britney Spears.
I love this song. Has she done anything recently?
I thought she had put out an album not too long ago.
Other than Gone Crazy? No, that was a couple of years ago. Britney Spears, and I don't know why I'm looking at my soundboard, she turned 30. So yes, she is only 3 years younger than me. Well, happy birthday, Miss Spears.
Mother of two.
All right, here is the next one.
Oh, speaking of people that got fat, her ex-husband, what's his name, got fat.
Oh, really? Wasn't he a dancer, or isn't he a dancer? I guess
he was. And I saw like a photo of him on the TMZ, that television show. I forget. Yeah. And he was enormous.
Really?
Yes.
See, when people come to you and I and they say, you skinny bitches need to stop worrying about your weight and just eat a cheeseburger. Eat a fucking cheeseburger. Then we can point to him and go, look what happens when you just stop worrying and you eat a fucking cheeseburger.
Right. Exactly.
That, right there. All right. You may know this one because this is this is a more nostalgic sort of person. I mean, he is still alive, but anyway.
It's the most. Oh, it's Tony Bennett.
It's not Tony Bennett.
With the
kids jingle bells. Now, I will tell you.
Oh, I need a hint then. I can't remember this guy's name.
This person has a theater in Branson, Missouri. He's famous for singing Moon River.
And yes.
I'm going to go to his Christmas show, hopefully next weekend, because I love his Christmas show. I love it. And I live like an hour away from Branson, so
See, this is what happens when the names are just on the tip of my tongue, but my brain just never wants to cough them up.
All right, well, you know, you can
I can't
miss
think of
one.
His name.
His name is Andy Williams, and I love him. When I worked at Pier 1, they always played this song around Christmas time every year, and I love it. And he sings this song in his Christmas show. Anyway,
yes.
So he is 84, and he still does his show. I mean, I don't know for how much longer, but he still does it. So I want
to
see.
You'll have
to
tell us how he sounds at 84.
Yeah, I really hope I can go, and I have a friend who may be able to even get me free tickets, but we'll see. I mean, I may have to have sex with him to get them, but he's cute, so it's okay. No, this guy I know, I've had some fun with a few times. He used to play piano for several of the shows in Branson, so he knows all the people. And he told me he could get me backstage and get tickets and all kinds of stuff for different shows. But nice. I didn't mention Andy Williams specifically, so I don't know. Okay, anyway, 84. Happy birthday, Andy. So this next one is dead. When you wish upon a star,
makes no difference who you are. Well, I don't know. That was a voiceover actor that played Geppetto.
Okay, so no, this song is what you think of. This whole organization when you hear this song.
It's so Walt Disney.
Walt Disney, yes, it was.
Well, as a point of order, I don't believe he's dead. I believe he's frozen underneath Tomorrowland somewhere.
Did I confuse you? No, so, you know, because they always, when they had the Walt Disney Sunday night movies, you remember that, where they would have Tinkerbell and she'd go hit a little, do her wand.
And you know what? Okay. There was a discussion on Big Fatty's show, and he talked about how it was called The Wonderful World of Colors. But for a time, it changed its name to The Wonderful World of Walt Disney. And he denied that. And I totally remember it was called, like, The Wonderful World of Walt Disney. And yeah, I remember those. I loved watching that on Sunday nights.
Yeah, they always, was it ABC or?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Uh-huh. So yeah, and they always, at the very beginning of every movie, because my favorite, I mean, like, my favorite all-time children's movie is Huff the Magic Dragon.
Okay.
And I believe that is a Walt Disney movie, and that's one of those like they would have played. But I love that. I love that movie. It's like it's a mixture of like an animated dragon with like real people. It's so good. Uh-huh. Have you ever seen it?
Yes, I have, but I haven't seen it in years, so I can't remember it that well.
It's so good.
It's been a long time.
It makes me cry at the end because the dragon flies away.
Yeah.
Anyway, and the boy's all like sad and crying. Okay.
Yeah, he never sees him again, right?
No, never sees him again. Well, I mean, that's how it ends. I mean, you don't know. Yeah. I mean, we don't see the boy die of old age or anything, so he could have seen him at some point. But I think he's no longer – I think the whole premise was the dragon only comes around while he's needed, and so he wasn't needed anymore. So Now, this one you may not know at all, and I don't know if this person is alive or dead, but this is a show that my brother loved – when
TV
I was
show?
A TV show, and it's okay. it's an actor, a famous comedian that was in this show, that was the main character of the show. I hated the show.
Oh, okay.
But and my dad liked it. But anyway, it's so I don't know if you'll know it or not. But well,
okay. I know who it is. I'll even sing along. It's Red Fox.
It is Red. So I guess you did know that one then.
Yes. Dirty old Red Fox.
So I don't know if he's still alive.
No, he's dead.
Because I didn't look.
No, I know he's dead. He died a few years ago. Quite a few.
The show was Sanford and Son, and it is...
You big dummy!
It is funny, but for some reason I didn't like it, because I think, again, because I like more of the happy shows.
Yeah.
And it was a real cynical kind of, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you watch it again, I think you might have a new appreciation for it, because I used to watch it, and I was like, oh, this is stupid. But if I see it now... It's more adult humor, and I think some of it's quite funny, especially on Esther.
They have it on something called Crackle TV, which is kind of like Sony's version of Hulu, and you can see whole episodes on YouTube, actually. They do have commercials and stuff in them, but I have a Roku box, and I can actually get Crackle TV on my Roku as well, so I may look it up. I may watch a couple and just see what I think now. But anyway, he would have been 89. Yep. So he's not so old that he couldn't have been alive.
True, true.
But I mean, I have to have a few, you know, a few dead people in the birthday list. I just do. I mean, I can't get around that. So anyway, happy birthday, Red Skelton, even though you are...
Red Fox.
Oh, Red Fox. Shoot. Whatever. Red somebody.
Red Buttons, Red Skelton, Red Fox.
All the Reds run together. Now, this would be Daniel's favorite portion of the show.
Because he loves the lasers.
He loves the lasers, or he loves the con. He loves to beg people. I was telling Jean in the episode that I did with her that Daniel loves to beg people to email and call. And I'm like, haven't you ever listened to those shows where if they have an email or a voicemail, they play it? If not, they don't even mention it.
Right.
You know?
He loves praise. That's why.
But yeah, so anyway, so we got, let's see, an email from Everett, who had emailed last week. Hey guys, so I just ordered my 2012 Camry and I'm looking forward to that in February.
He's just get a new car, Adam.
Right.
Just buy a new car.
I should, definitely. What were you guys wanting again? Oh, so I guess he's going to get Daniel and I cars, because I don't know if you listened to the last episode, Dr. Stone, but we were talking about, and you don't have to answer that, because if you didn't, then I'll be mad at you.
No, I did.
No, but we were talking about how Everett wanted us to test out the various technologies in cars and give our reports on them. And we were saying that, you know, perhaps he should use his pull to get us. But anyway, so he's asking what we want, a Lexus, a Scion, or a Toyota. He says, however, the only way I could get you guys a new car with a sweet deal is if you were a long-lost cousin or uncle or grandfather or father of mine. Let me know if you qualify. Anyway, and he says, here's an article on the Intune system, which Daniel and I will read next week, I think. And he says, I'm looking forward to having Pandora and Bing at my fingertips soon. So guys, I need some ideas for getting my fiance for Christmas. I've done some shopping for him already and I'm looking to spend about another $100 on him. Anything you think I can get that will, quote, blow him away, needing like a gadget, techie ideas for him.
Can it be a sex gadget?
You know what? He didn't specify. And now that I know you're a tawdry slut, just like me, then I'm sure you have a whole list of items that you could mention for him. I mean,
well, I do receive, every week the emailing of the Fort Trough. I don't know if you are also a member of the secret society. I believe it's forttrough.com. And so they always email you like their listing of new products that they just got in. I'd have to pull up my email. Okay. I just got it.
You know, there's
are you
just,
familiar with it? You're just sitting there acting like you don't know.
No, I'm trying to think because I think I've heard you mention it before, but I can't recall where you would have mentioned that. I mean, I guess maybe on Live It Up, but I'm not certain. I'm trying to remember. Isn't it like a nasty, filthy
Absolutely, it is. Absolutely. So there's a product that came in the email that looked kind of interesting. It's called the Jerk and Fuck Sheath. And it says, well, I don't want to read the whole description, but it describes it. It's a strap on almost, but it's very rubbery and floppy. And it says, it's a fat, sloppy sheath that hooks to your nuts. So your balls get a nice tug when you stroke. So it really thickens up your weenus. And as you're plowing somebody, or you could, it's like ribbed on the inside. So as you're I'm making the jack off motion here, so you can see that.
I see that. Very, very, very nice.
So it's supposed to be very, very, stimulating, and that's $50. So,
well, there you go.
You want to blow them away for $50. So, well,
question about that. Do you actually put it on and then you insert into someone with it
on? You could fuck them with it, or they have a picture of somebody going down on it, giving it blowjob, but I don't know why you would want to do that. It's just a piece of plastic at that point. Yeah. Or you could fuck them with it on.
That's the thing about, I've heard of people saying, like I've seen even in porn and stuff where they'll suck on a dildo, and I'm thinking, it tastes like plastic. It's horrible.
Yes.
Like I've been trickless before and thought, I'll just take this dildo I've got lying around and I'll suck on that and maybe it'll simulate me sucking on an actual penis. No, it does not.
It's no better than sucking on your thumb.
It's worse because it tastes horrible.
Right.
Anyway, he says, I'll try to get you guys some Dallas Stadium picks and picks of Tim and I in the next week or so. Enjoy your week, guys. Your number one Iowa fan, Ev.
There you go. Well, what would you have suggested for a gift for him?
This is the whole thing. We were having the conversation about what I should get for my semi-technological parents who are kind of, but their version of being techie is my stepdad printing off Facebook messages so my mom can read them. And then her writing on there and him going back and typing it into Facebook for her. So, I don't know. $100. If he likes to read, and Daniel and I have mentioned this a million times, but if he likes to read, a Kindle is a really good item. You can get several models of the Kindle for $100 or less. We already mentioned this. An Audible subscription is techie if the person likes to listen to audiobooks. If he likes to, all these are things that I've mentioned before, but if he likes like web TV and Netflix and stuff like that, he could get him a Roku, which is it's a set top box that you hook into your internet and it does Wi-Fi or Ethernet, and you can get Amazon Prime on there. You can get Hulu, you can get Crackle, there are several sports things. There are hundreds of channels that you can get, and it's all internet TV.
Well, I like all the sound of those. I'd like to get a Roku box. But for your parents, now, if they're nostalgic about technology, like I am, I was actually listening to an episode of Don't Quit Your Day Job. And one of them, Jerry, was talking about how he got an old-fashioned handset for a phone, and it plugged into his iPhone. So it was like a receiver.
Right.
That was an old fashioned timey thing. And he said the sound quality was actually much better than just using the regular old iPhone.
They wouldn't get much. That's like a novelty sort of thing. I mean, really, are you going to sit there with your iPhone and hold this other thing up to your ear? Can you imagine people in a state where it's not illegal, because I think it is in California, but like, for instance, I don't believe in Arkansas it's illegal to talk on the phone yet while you're driving. Maybe it is, but anyway.
It's illegal here, yeah.
So can you imagine driving down the road and seeing someone holding up an old-timey handset up to their ear as they're driving down the road?
Yes, that person would be me.
Right. As you're typing on the teletype machine, sending a text message on the seat next to you. Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. Well, thanks for the email, Everett. We will read that article next week because I wanted to do some further analysis. And so anyway, our next one was a comment on Google Plus from Peter, and he says, Daniel, how in the world do you know how to tile a floor? You're a psychology majoring former bartender, programmer, developer sort, not exactly a skill set for tiling a floor. Is there nothing you can't do? If I seem slightly resentful of your tiling prowess, it's because my one attempt at tiling, and I was using peel and stick tile, not ceramic tile like you, ended in hysterical yelling, sobbing, and a tile stuck to my leg with massive loss of attendant leg hair.
Oh.
So first of all, I will say, Peter, that since Daniel is not here, I will say I'm sure Daniel, when he listens to this, will really enjoy the fact that you are giving him props for evidently knowing everything, because Daniel enjoys the props. And other than that, Daniel will probably have to answer that next time. But I can tell you that I also know how to tile. I own a house in Texas, and when we had the house built, we left the tile out so that we could save some money, and I tiled a couple of bathrooms and a backsplash in the kitchen.
That's so impressive. Would you like to come out to California and tile my bathroom?
I actually own a tile saw. That's not a lie. But actually, I had to give up on the kitchen because it was 18 by 18 travertine. And mm-hmm. I didn't realize they don't level floors when they build a new house. And oh. I just thought I could go in and start laying tile. Oh, no, you can't. Not even on a new house. You get the tile rocking back and forth. And my solution to that was to take a hammer and try to beat the cement until I chipped enough away to level it out. And after about four tiles doing that, I gave up and paid someone to come in and finish it. But apparently you have to do something called floating it, where you like pour this stuff over it and it's this liquid and it settles so that it's level.
Oh,
and then you put
okay.
the tile on it. I would have just thought they would have poured a fucking, foundation level. But no, they're not.
Yeah. I guess it settles too fast.
They're not. So from Terry in Wisconsin, he says, gifts for parents. As you were discussing this, I was on my iPad and saw a free app called Gadget Guide. It might give you some ideas. So, Everett, if you have an iPad or an iPhone, look for an app called Gadget Guide. And thanks for the advice, Terry. Greg in New Zealand sent a news story, which I am going to save. But I'm going to say thanks for the contact, Greg, and I already had some news stories, so I'm going to save that for next week. But it was a news story from Christchurch, and that's where he is from. So we will read that on the next one. And we had no voicemails, so...
Aww.
Well, we had one, and I considered playing it, but it was similar to the one last week where it was a multi-level marketing call where they want us to start. So apparently our DI Plus voicemail line has fallen in the hands of some nefarious telemarketing sort of people. And so now we're getting calls, next it'll be for like Viagra. Do you want, I don't know. Do you need these three little blue pills to keep you erect? And, then it'll be Amway. And, who knows?
I think that would be the perfect Christmas gift for $100.
What, something from Amway or Viagra?
No, the Viagra.
Viagra, you only get like two or three pills for $100. I mean, it's pretty expensive.
I guess you could sort of just lick them down, take a little lick off of them every once in a while, like a salt lick.
I do not have an issue, but I, on Adam for Adam, they have this ad for generic Viagra and Cialis and all this stuff. And I, for a while, was doing webcam modeling type stuff where I needed to stay erect for long periods of time.
Mm-hmm.
And also carry on conversations with people that were not always sexual, but I wanted to at least stay plump so that I'm enticing them to want to take me into the room and do things so that I make money. And so, I purchased some of these generics to try to see if that would help me, and it doesn't solve the problem if you're not already horny. At least mm-hmm. to me, it doesn't. Like, you have to be in the mood. You have to be one of those people that has an actual physical issue where you cannot maintain.
Right.
And you're horny, but it's not functioning. It doesn't just, you take it and boom, it just goes up in the air. You have to be stimulated still.
Right. So I learned that as well when I tried it.
Because I thought it would just be this pill that I would take and it would go boing, and you know, right, that would be it. But no, you still have to be watching a porn or thinking about sex or be horny or whatever. And it didn't help me maintain anything for the, I mean, I was thinking, well, what about the claims that if you have a 4-hour erection, go to the doctor? You know, I didn't have any of that. And it could have been that it was just generic shit. And if I used the real stuff, that it would have worked better. But, and again, I don't, when I'm having sex and I'm doing stuff, I have no problem getting or maintaining. But it was this, for hours and hours and hours on camera, I was trying to stay that way. Mm-hmm. And it was an issue.
Yes. Well, my situation when I tried it was, I was in Palm Springs, and the men in Palm Springs are not the most prettiest men in the town. Okay. Sorry, Palm Springs. And so I had a friend who had some Viagra, and I thought, well, I'm going to try it and see if it'll, you know, get me turned on. And then I'll be more interested in, like, you know, fooling around with these guys. Well, so I tried one, and because they're not that appealing, it never took effect. So it never made me horny. It's just that they were not appealing enough to get me going. So
yeah, I don't know. I wanted a pill that would, like, regardless of whether I was horny, it would just keep it up. Because, you know, if you think about it, okay, here's another thing. I'm a grower. Like, I'm not very big when I'm soft. So when I just walk around in tight jeans or whatever, I don't look like I have this huge, massive penis. But when I'm hard, I'm a respectable size. I mean, I'm a good size. So I thought, you know, if you could take one of these things and it would at least keep you semi-erect, you could, you know, stuff that thing down in your jeans and look like you have this massive, you know, because cock rings never worked for me for that either. Like, you know, a lot of people will wear a cock ring and I don't know. So no, it didn't work. It didn't work at all. Well, anyway, Wes, that was the end of our contact, and that usually is the end of the show, but I wanted to, you know, we never talked about the fact that...
Don't you play the lasers at the end of the contact?
Oh, shit, yes, I do. Wait, we got to play the lasers. Let me make sure. Fire the laser! 3, 2, 1! Jesus, I'm glad you reminded me, because Daniel would have, like, killed me if I hadn't played the last laser. I mean, I think he would have replaced me, which is actually what I'm doing. I'm just auditioning people to replace him, you see. He's going to be... I don't know if you ever watched the Regis and Kelly, but...
I know, they're looking for somebody to replace Regis.
They are. So that's what I've been telling people, is that, you know, you and Gene coming on here, you're just cycling... We're cycling in other co-hosts, you know, to look at. But I've really enjoyed having you on here tonight, and I felt so comfortable with you knitting. I'm so glad that you did that.
See here?
is that a sleeve?
Well, I don't want to say what it is. I'll tell you offline later, because the person might be listening to what I'm making it for. Oh,
okay.
So you never know.
All right. Well, it could be a cock warmer. I mean,
It could be a willy warmer.
You know, I was glad you were on, because, I mean, you had such good advice for me and everything, and talking about my dating life, and I know people are getting tired of that, and I don't know. You and I seem to kind of be on the same wavelength. I didn't necessarily think that we were, but we are kind of.
We're the anti-matter co-host.
Are.
And Daniel's that bond.
And, you know, I just wanted to say one thing, because I have not made a decision about what I'm going to do with my dating life at all. But I just wanted to clarify for everyone, so that they don't think that I'm lowering my standards or anything. The guy that I've been going out with, he really is smart for a Mexican. Dubious Intent was written and recorded by somebody, I don't know who, maybe the anti-proton, or the anti the anti-neutron, or electron, or whatever the fuck, I don't care. Actually, it was kind of like a sex show. Anyway, you can contact us at 2x2DI+ is our voicemail number, or you can email us at... contact@dubiousintent.com. You can also go over to Google+ and look for Dubious Intent and friend our page. If you wanted to email us individually, don't. Just send it to contact@dubiousintent.com. And Wes, if someone wanted to get a hold of you, do you have a way for them to do that?
They could send us emails over at the Live It Up podcast show. It's liveitupthepodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, I don't think we...
Or...
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to say, or you could find our Google Plus page under Live It Up.
All right. We didn't even mention it, but I've got to say, good night, Wes.
Good night.